Hi, I hope you're doing well. So I just finished reading chapter 5, The Right to Choose, and does it have a lot of revelations? And Bishop really gives us some truths that might be pretty invading and uncomfortable, but let's do this. So, The Right to Choose. I don't know what comes to mind when I say The Right to Choose. Like, what comes to your mind? Are you thinking what I'm thinking? So, there's so many things you could pick from this particular chapter. And so he begins with like saying, one of the ways they try to enforce when he, I have always wanted you to know that you are valuable. One of the ways I have tried to enforce that was respecting you while I was rearing you. Neither your mother nor I made a practice of saying painful things that undermined your self-esteem. And he says that I particularly want you to associate men with good treatment. Therefore, when you encounter one who doesn't treat you well, it would be so unfamiliar that you would find it repulsive. Because if abuse is not checked, then it produces in future relationships. And so, he first begins telling us that we should be accustomed to good treatment, associate men with good treatment, and find the opposite repulsive, and don't embrace that dysfunction. And so, sometimes we have been raised in environments where maybe abuse is okay, maybe talking to somebody carelessly with no level of decorum, just how do I call it? I'd like to say with no level of self-respect, because most of the times how we respond to people depicts what we have within. So, and sometimes dysfunction for somebody could look functional until you engage with other people, then you will realize that your okay is not okay. And so he just begins by telling us that sometimes we've been raised in environments full of dysfunction, or maybe picked it along the way from our relationships with friends and whatsoever. And it affects how we choose friends, how we choose romantic partners, how we choose people we want to settle down with. Because he says he's met women, as he counseled, even men who are very okay with being mistreated, because that's what they saw growing up. Yeah, they saw dysfunction, they saw somebody being mistreated, maybe let's say an abusive person, parent. So they equate that to love, and they equate that to being okay. And so I would really then draw, and then he gives a story. Do you know about Lying the Bible? So he gives like a snippet into Leah's life. Let me just read it for you. Genesis 29:31-35, it says, "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called him his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord had looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, because the Lord has heard that I was hated, he hath given me this son also, and called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son. And she said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left bearing." You see, all these times, for the first 3 sons, she was doing it for approval from Jacob and affirmation. And how many times do we find ourselves doing things to be approved by either our family, that are not of God, by friends, by like your significant other, you know? And so now, like Bishop asks us to confront the Jacobs in our lives. Is there an idol? Is there a thing in your life that has stolen your attention and emotions from God, who keeps blessing you? Have you missed the sweet taste of God's favor because you took the successes that he gave you and paraded them before others whose minds you wanted to change? Is there something you have maybe allowed to be the place where you draw affirmation? It could be a career, it could be a relationship, it could be like, there's so many things you could use. But he says that he says that if you are a Christian, you were violated like 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Our Father set you free. You are not to be driven or compelled, controlled or dominated, not by a person, a goal, or even your own flesh. He died to set you free. And so this then begins from the place of our minds, like what we know about ourselves, what we know about things, about life. So I will take you back to a verse I really love. It's Romans 12 verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that she may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so sometimes we may not realize it, but as we move in life, there are things you have placed as idols. It could be a career, it could be a degree, it could be marriage, it could be a relationship. And I think then through circumstances, God will just, a boyfriend, God could just teach you and just for you to see, and cause a scene for you to see what you really value above Him. So is there anything you have placed in the place of God in your life, where you would do anything, even if it means not allowing God to guide you because you really want that? And I think there are moments in my life where I have maybe, put other things in the past, not now, before God. But I remember growing up, my father would always ask me, "What do you want? This or that?" And my father would never give you a choice of saying, "But daddy, you know, it was either you choose one or the other." I never realized the power of that, but even as I make decisions as a grown person, as a grown woman right now, I am able to exactly tell what I want, and I will not settle for something else because I can't get what I want. And so as women, most times we live at the place of maybe, how is this English word I'm looking for in my mind? A compromise, because we forget we have the right to choose. Like, you have the right to choose. And let me just give you a story. At the end, he was saying, he was counseling some married couple who were to get married. And as this wife submits, is a very beautiful wife, but most people have misunderstood it. And so this wife was complaining that, the Bible says submit to your husband, or the husband has so much over me. You understand, eh? But sometimes it takes wisdom to understand the word of God, because submission is not a form of weakness. And I've had many sermons about marriage and relationships because I really love that kind of content. And so Bishop replied to her, like, she was like, "This isn't fair, the man has all the rights." And then Bishop responded to her, "No, that is not true. The reason the Bible describes the qualities of the man as well is that God has given the woman the first rights of marriage." And she said, "What right is this?" And Bishop responded, "The right to choose." And then he went on to say, "If you forfeit that right, you are foolish. You have the right to choose the kind of man to whom you want to be submitted. Woe unto the woman who hasn't been healed and says yes to the man because his treatment to her is familiar and not biblical. You want the God kind of man, not just a good man. No, he is not God, that he should be the kind of man who has decided he wants to love you as God says he should. You, in response to that choice, should honor him by not living in rebellion and contention." And he's like, "I want to warn you against basing a permanent decision on a temporary feeling. Don't choose for lust. Don't choose for fortune or fame. Don't choose because of notoriety. All these things will fade. Choose the God kind of man if you are going to marry. And choose no man to serve like a king who hasn't honored you as his queen. You will always be daddy's girls, but you ought to be your husband's queen." And so as I read this chapter, I'm just thinking of times when I have allowed myself to just stick things in because I felt like either they were deserving, or I never took time to think through. And also for you, dear lady, like, do you know that you have the power to choose? There's a saying I usually have for myself that I can't choose somebody I don't trust to lead me, because I know the position that whatever I give, it could be something like, I have to be in my right set of mind to choose somebody who I know, I believe I can follow and submit to. Because if you don't trust something or someone to lead you, and whose vision you actually respect, it will be impossible for you to just submit to something. The same way, you have to believe that God has a good plan for you as a good father, and submit to his will for you, because you know you can trust his leading. And I think basically this chapter he was trying to tell us as women, I think sometimes we forget, maybe you've forgotten that you have a right to choose, and you settle for things. It could be a job, it could be a career, it could be just a business, it could be a friend. It doesn't have to be romantic relationships, but since that was the main thing he was talking about here, so what is the Jacob in your life that you need to let go of? Is Leah, Jacob was an idol, and she was doing everything to please her husband, because even her father did not see her feet. Like, it was more of a generational thing, and she had to get to a point where she understood that only God was supposed to be worshipped. So what are you worshipping? What are you choosing to place in the place of God? And I think that we really need to get to a place where we are cognizant of what we carry and know that we have the right to choose. You know, like, we have the right to choose. I was telling my friend some time back that, like, you know, as a woman, as a pretty woman, many people come your way, and there are so many people who come your way and offer you things. And I think that many women and others have lost it and give in too quickly because of the goodies that you think people bring. But I have told you that at the end, I love what he says about, you know, choose the kind of man that God would want you to have. And if a guy is listening, the kind of woman that God would want you to have. And don't feel like there's a deficit, people are out of stock, you know, like they're God's. Maybe you feel like God's kingdom is not giving, so let me hold on to this one, because if I let go of this one, I will. You understand? Yeah? So I think I'm just learning that afresh again today, that you have to be very particular about your choices with friendships, with relationship partners, with who you choose to surround yourself with, people, places that you go to. And yeah, it even shows in your daily decisions. If maybe you go into a mall, you want to buy something, you went there to buy a particular thing, but you leave that place picking something else because someone told you it was on offer. Glory, do you hear me? So I think we have to be firm in our decisions. You have to be to show that you're people of sobriety and focus, and it shows by how we choose to show up. Yeah, and so this is a deep. So meaning you have to heal first before you can choose better, because you have the right to choose. You only have to believe it that you do, because it's all within you, and nobody can be able to make that choice for you. You have to make it for yourself, right? And let me just pray before I finish, because I have things to do this day, Aldi. And let's just pray. So everlasting Father, we come before you this beautiful morning, saying that you are worthy, you are awesome, you are holy, you are righteous, you are faithful. We love and adore your holy name, Jesus. Receive our praise, glory, honor this morning. And this morning we have learned that we have the right to choose, and that we should be anchored in you more than we are anchored in the things of the world, and that we should have our minds set on you, because through our fellowship with you, we get to know your will for us, your good, perfect will for us, and we are then in the place of walking and choosing, because we can see clearly through your eyes. And God, the moments we have lost the power of choice because we have allowed ourselves to wait upon people's approval and validation, we have just been blinded by things that are not of you. And God, I ask that you forgive us, that you forgive me, that you restore and redeem us to understanding that you are the real source, that we should not have anything above you. And at the times we've worshipped things and forgotten to just seek who you really are and worship only our God, ask that you open our eyes, that you would forgive us, that you forgive me, Jehovah God, and help us to focus our minds on things that matter, O King of Glory, and know that you gave us the power of choice, and that we should operate in all wisdom and knowledge, all for the honor and the glory of your mighty name. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray, believing. Amen. Have a blessed day. I love you with the love of God, and God loves you more than I do. Trust me. See you until tomorrow for our chapter 6. Bye.